Please stand by. This is Premier Global Services. We are about to begin. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's Hero Group and ERGO Agree on Life Assurance Joint Venture in India conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to your host, Ms. Regina Kaiser.
Hello, and namaste, and good afternoon from Delhi. Welcome to the telephone conference. Munich Re Group is very happy to announce the joint venture between Hero Group and ERGO. At the table are sitting Nicolas von Bomhard, CEO of Munich Re Group, and Andreas Kleiner, board member of ERGO International. First, I would like to ask Nicolas von Bomhard to give a short statement about our third joint venture here in India.
Well, thank you, Regina. Good afternoon to everybody. Indeed, we are proud to share this exciting news about the latest joint venture with Hero Group here in India and ERGO, and joint venture to develop life insurance in India. It certainly is a highlight for all of us here in the room personally, for the two groups, and we think also as regards the business relationship of India and Germany. If we remember late in August last year, when we launched the DKV Apollo joint venture for health insurance, we already said that we were in promising talks with two further partners to also create joint ventures for non-life and life insurance. Later the same year, at the end of October, we could announce the joint venture with HDFC Group. Now, I am happy and proud to announce the third joint venture here in India, and it is with the Hero Group. We will partner to develop life insurance in India. As we see it at Munich Re and ERGO Group, we found the ideal partner to develop a long and profitable business relationship for both parties. Why do I say that? Because we feel that Hero is a very reputable family-owned business in India. It has a trusted and very well-known brand for decades all across India, a very important ingredient when it comes to develop a business like life insurance, which is built on trust in the first place. The Hero Group has a tremendous knowledge of clients, of their clients in India, and of course this is what the ERGO Group lacks. ERGO Group brings other skills to the table, but together it's complementary, and I think we can offer what is needed to develop life insurance in India. The Hero Group also is looking on tremendous experience as regards financial services. It has very strong relationship to its customers and its dealer network. What was of utmost importance to both of us, the Hero Group and ERGO Group, was a very ethical approach to business. We share the same values. That means we try to develop business here for the mid and for the long term. One may also add that Hero Group has a lot of experience when it comes to international joint ventures, also with German partners, the latest being Daimler. Well, I'm proud to say, of course, that also ERGO brings something to the table, and this will mainly be, of course, in the insurance world. It will be know-how about products, know-how as regards actuarial calculations. It will be sales management and processes in insurance. The group, Munich Re Group, has already a long experience in the Indian market. It dates back more than 50 years. And of course, with the two earlier mentioned joint ventures, we also have a year or two now in the primary insurance world. The development of the latest joint venture in life insurance is a piece in the mosaic for the ERGO Group to expand its international business in Asia, and it's also part of what we at Munich Re call changing gear. We're changing gears to further develop the group in a profitable mode. Well, let me make one last statement, which is important because this question is being raised sometimes. And In India, like in all the other markets where the Munich Re Group is actively pursuing businesses, we do strictly separate our primary operations from the reinsurance operations. We work at arm's length, others call it the Chinese walls between the two businesses. This is very important to the reinsurer of the Munich Re Group, because we owe to our primary insurance clients this confidentiality. Well, this being said, I think I should turn it back to Regine, and we are, Andreas Klein and myself, now open to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Operator, you can now open the session for the Q&A.
Thank you, Ms. Kaiser. Ladies and gentlemen, today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many as time permits. As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Christoph Wilkamp from Börsen-Zeitung is on the line with a question.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Bomhardt. Christoph Wilkamp from Börsen-Zeitung. Could you please tell us something a little bit more about your goals in India, your common goals? Just what are you planning? How are you planning to go on with business in India?
Let me start from a high level, and then Andreas Kleiner will be bringing the details. The Indian market is an important market when it comes to developing the ERGO International book. As you may know, that ERGO is expanding its international book. Today it's making up around about 20-22% of its overall business, and it is planned to develop that book into a third, 33% of ERGO's business by 2012. There's two major, let's say, regions that we tap in. One is the Central and Eastern European countries, and the other one is what we call our selected Asian strategy. And we started it off full scale, broad scale in India now, and adding the third chapter of that strategy, this joint venture here for life insurance. But it includes also China, where we have the international health book already, one joint venture up and running, and it includes Korea, where we have recently been acquiring a direct primary insurance company. But it goes beyond that. We are looking also into some other markets. But maybe as regards India, because it's the furthest developed, I would ask Andreas Kleiner to give us some more details.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Nicholas. Well, if you look at the Indian insurance market, we started with a project in 2006 to verify whether a market entry makes sense for us. And we came to the conclusion that yes, in life as well as in non-life, and last but not least in health, we deem India to be a highly attractive market with significant growth rates, but also substantial profit potential. And on that basis, we started with a structured process to find adequate partners. And as mentioned before, we believe that with Hero, we found for us the perfect partner. Well, you were asking about the objectives that we have in India. We certainly do not come here to be the second best at the end of the day. We do have ambitions and see ourselves to be somewhere amongst the top five players in the Indian market, of the top five private players in the life insurance industry within a foreseeable period of time, so roughly 8 to 10 years.
Okay, thank you. Is there another question? Did we answer this question? Hello? Hello?
Someone from Financial Times is on the line with a question.
Yes. Is there another question for us?
Yes, there is.
Herbert from Financial Times is on the line with a question.
Yes, please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Yes, good afternoon. There are four questions, in fact. Could you specify this being among the top five private insurers within 8 to 10 years in terms of premium income? And if I recall rightly, the private companies are rather small given the size of the state-owned companies. Is that so? The second question would be, can you enlighten us a bit about the product you are going to offer there? Is that, like other life insurers, mainly sort of fast-turning investment-type index-linked products, or will that be long-term savings products? And what do you do about the high fluctuation, both in terms of customers, agents, and staff in India, you will have to expect? The next question would be, Mr. Van Bommel, your strategy of focusing on these countries, what do you say about the fear that protectionism might grow in not only in Asia but also in Eastern Europe, and that you might one day have difficulties repatriating profits or even expanding the business you want to? And the final question, do you have agreement to lift your stake beyond the 26% once Indian law permits? And if I recall rightly, it has been promised a couple of times but hasn't happened so far.
Okay, Robin, let me start with the third question as regards protectionism. We are, of course, aware that in today's world there seems to be a tendency somehow back to protectionism, but we don't see it in India. In India, it's actually right the opposite right now. And I'm sometimes more afraid of the more developed country falling into that sort of habit again. But, of course, in theory, there is a risk that depending on the development of the macro economies in the different countries, for a politician it's always easy to play that card and to make life miserable of the outside investors. But I don't see India here as a sort of dangerous place to be in that regard, rather the opposite, because here the politicians try hard to further liberalize the market these days.
How do you call the limit of 26% they impose on you in ownership?
This is something that is being worked upon by the politicians in India, and they have a coalition as we do in Germany, and these things don't come easy. So I know that the government is trying to change it, and we will have to see whether in the current legislative term they can still achieve it. But we know it's a target also, of course, in the context of the WTO negotiation. So we have to wait and see, but we know that as of today it's 26, and maybe coming to your last question, this, of course, all has to be talked about, but this is nothing that we do publish yet where we do exactly stand. And I would like to now hand it over to Andreas Kleiner for the two first questions. One was, what exactly is meant by being top five? Are there more numbers to be presented already? And the second was around products. What kind of products shall and should be offered here in India?
And turnover of both customers, staff, and agents.
Yes.
Correct.
In actual fact, I noted down four items that I would like to respond to, Mr. Fromme. The question top five, what does it mean in numbers? The question state-owned versus private, size-wise. The question about products and the high fluctuation of staff and agents. Let me maybe start with the top five. Well, we believe that the market will continue to grow at a similar pace as it has been growing over the last couple of years. That's at least what all the predictions say. And from there, it's very hard to specify. We are in the process of finalizing and fine-tuning our business plan, so I'm very hesitant to put out numbers at that point in time.
Well, what size is the number five now in the private among the private companies? How big is it?
Number five. If you would give me a moment. Sitting at about, but it's only April to January.
Okay. We can deliver this figure later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, if you look at state-owned versus private, there's only one state-owned company, so that's LIC, and they do currently have a market share of somewhere between 80 and 85%, and as far as new business is concerned, of around about 70%. So it's very dominated still by the state-owned company. But having said that, it's particularly the private companies that are growing very quickly, also considering that the market is only liberalized in a sense, or accessible for foreign players since the year 2000. and we expect that over time there will be a significant shift towards the private players. Does that answer your question adequately?
No, I just want, I mean, I wonder how, what kind of, whether this is a long-term business or whether, what I saw in India when I visited companies, I saw very fast-turning sort of products where medium-income Indian people could take part in the stock exchange boom for €5 a month or something. And that kind of business is, of course, very dependent on the way the stock market goes, etc. It's not really comparable with the long-term life business we know in Europe. And I just wonder whether this is the type of business you're aiming at and whether this is a bubble or really a long-term stable development. Are you taking part in a bubble or are you developing, growing a market that you think has long-term future?
Right. Well, what you just mentioned in terms of products, what we see at the moment is that the regulator starts taking decisive action against that, and we see that a number of companies are revisiting their product development. So it is not a field that we want to jump on that bandwagon. Our products, if you look at our product mix, it will be mostly a unit-linked regular premium business. We anticipate that will be in excess of 50% of the overall portfolio, as well as then unit-linked single premium business.
Maybe I may add one thing here, Mr. Frommer. And the point is that what I said in my introductory words, that we try to come up with something that is mid and long-term valuable also to the client and to the shareholders and after all then to the employees. So the business model should be something that is not going for the growth of top line for its own sake, but really trying to create value that may not be fashionable sometimes in the first place, but we are absolutely convinced that if the market still has to change here a little bit, it will sooner or later, as Mr. Kleiner said, the regulator is also looking into it, and there will be some stabilization as we see it looking forward.
Now moving to your last question, high fluctuation among staff and agents. Yes, this is indeed an issue in the Indian market. There is a clear shortage of talent. But having said that, we believe that if we look, for instance, at the company culture that Hero brings to the table, if we look at the company culture that the Munich Re Group and more specifically ERGO brings to the table, we see that we have good chances to keep fluctuation certainly well below market average, be it through management as well as leadership and training of our people.
Market average is 50%, isn't it, among agents?
Among agents, yes, round about in that ballpark figure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Vermont, my final word, before we get this figure, what number 5 means in terms of size, can you give us a figure of your turnover premium income in India right now? For the Munich Re Group?
The Munich Re Group is right now in the double-digit million range.
Okay.
It's relatively small, but this is double-digit right now, more or less, but at the higher end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this includes everything.
Can you be a bit more precise? 50, 60, 80?
At the higher end of the double-digit.
It takes up 2 lines of the 5 lines I have on this story.
You have the fantasy to fill in, Mr. Thomas.
Okay, we still need the figure for what is now the 5th largest private company.
Yes, I will call you.
Okay, thank you.
After the call, is that okay?
That's
thank
fine.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. And are there other questions from other journalists?
Michael Friedrich from DPA is on the line with a question.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Michael Friedrich, DPA in Munich. Just 2 small follow-up questions. The first one, you've mentioned that you're interested in increasing your stake in the joint venture. Maybe is there a plan to increase it to 50%, or what's the plan if the okay from the Indian government should come? And the other question is, once again, about your targets. Can you say something about your possible customers you see in the Indian market? Thank you.
Okay. Andreas?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Mr. Von Bomhardt, please.
I start with the question as regards the stake. We, of course, have to apply to the rules that are currently in the country, and that is the 20%, 26% stake, and all the rest we have to wait what the government does, and then accordingly we can react with our partner. The relationship with our partner is such that we can talk about everything once the time is due, so let's cross the bridge once we get there.
Mm-hmm. But you're interested in increasing the stake, right?
We will see. Let time go by, and we see that it depends really on the development. There's many options how you can proceed with a company like this one. We really have to see how it develops.
Okay.
Now, moving over to your question about target customers, what we will be particularly striving at is middle-income and aspiring middle-class customers, in line with what is the, I would say, the bread and butter of Hero's customer base. And we will furthermore strive to make use of the Hero network with its 7,500 touch points around the country. We may not be specifically focusing Tier 1 cities, but more Tier 2 and Tier 3 regions and cities all over India.
Mm-hmm. And any targets relating to customer numbers, what potential do you see there for your business?
Well, that's a difficult question. I wouldn't be able to give you any specific answer in that respect.
Okay.
Okay. We have we further questions? Mr. Friedrich, we do not want to give you a figure about our customers at the moment. Are there any questions from other journalists, please?
As there are no further questions remaining in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to Ms. Kaiser for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much for joining our telephone conference, and we wish you a good afternoon and a nice weekend here from Delhi. Goodbye.